It is a known fact. It is a known fact that as a soul, you have two forms of energy, two forms of consciousness that has permeated you, that exist in you, that exist in us. You have the energy, the consciousness of feeling, which without that, you cannot exist as a soul in a physical body. And that is regarded as the female energy. But in the scriptures, when you hear they refer in the scripture, they say woman. That's what they are talking about. That feeling energy. Because if you really want to know the presence of God, you have to feel it also. You feel it. And feelings can do all kinds of things to us. And the other energy is the male energy. Wants to reason, wants to do this, what they might call in the Bible the Christ consciousness. One cannot exist without the other. And so they tend to work together depending on where your thought forms. You've led your consciousness, that we've led our consciousness. Whatever happens to you or myself, lift up your heart, because if you hold on to your faith, your liberation, your unfolding is very near. So, as we go into the story of Job, we find out faith is absolutely necessary for any soul. Whether you dramatize it that I believe in God or I don't believe in God. Even the atheists, they have faith in something. So if you go through the difficulty in faith, you'll be far, far above your present level. Especially when the manifestation of your faith shows up. If we have faith in ourselves, that allows us to do great things, to go on. And so, whatever we apply, then when we see the results, that is the demonstration of that faith. It has to be within before we see it on the physical. So last week, I talked about a simple story. So I will quote what we talked about. To a disciple who complained of his limitations, the master said, "You are limited indeed, but have you noticed you can do things today that you would not have thought impossible, that you would have thought impossible 15 years ago?" Then the master said, "What changed?" The disciple was like, "Oh, my talents changed. And I discovered, oh yeah." "No," the master says, "it's not your talent that changed, it's you that changed." And the disciples said, isn't that same thing? The master says, no. You are what you think you are. When your thinking changed, you changed. And we will realize in the story of Job that when Job's thinking started changing, then things started to change for him. Because Job was living under false belief. And I will break it down what that false belief is. And we all have it. Because when you have faith, it changes your thinking. From not having, from thinking, well, I can't do this. But you know, I can do it. As long as the Spirit of God is in me, I can make this happen. That Spirit will lead. Faith is a spiritual realization followed by the manifestation in the outer of the truth that has been realized within you. It starts with, and then you realize it outside. So in the Christian Bible of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 3 to 5, King James Version, this is what was said. And I was with you in weakness. And we all have weaknesses. Well, maybe some don't, but I'm yet to meet people who don't have weaknesses. Even saints have weaknesses until they overcome, until they are fully anchored in God. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So the faith is not about from your own wisdom. It is anchored in the Spirit of God. That's what really will make things happen. And Job really needed that. So like I said earlier on, woman in the Bible represents the human soul, the human personality, and especially the feeling nature. When things go wrong, it is usually our feelings that let us down. Our feelings of fear and discouragement. And we know our feelings can be foolish. It can lead us to despair, stress. And the foolish action that comes because we are worried. So in the story of Job, we will see all those feelings. We will see Job also has four friends. And this relates to all of us. Three of them, they were going by their own limited understanding. So what did they do to Job? You must have been doing something for this to happen to you. Maybe you were doing it quietly. But the fourth friend, who is a young person, and spiritually, youth represent a readiness to receive understanding. He had a better understanding of the situation. And of course, what did he say to Job? He said, Job, I don't think God is punishing you. God is testing you for your own good. Weakness, we all go through tests. Yeah, his understanding is better than the older guys, but even his understanding, because he's still using from his human wisdom, is limited. Because God does not need to test us. He already knows everything. Everything about us that we can't even comprehend. So what is it that tests us? Our temptations, our misfortunes do test us. And we say God sent them. No, God didn't send them. It is our thinking, like Yogananda, we say, that's what generated that. Some might call it karma. Yeah. You want to change your life, change your form of thinking. When we start thinking, oh, this bad thing is going to happen, this bad thing, then we attract it and it happens. And it's not that God sent that. And that's why there's one of a saying that I liked. Action and reaction are equal and opposite. Because things have to balance out. If you think it this way, then it actually will come, and until then you find out, oh, maybe I shouldn't die. And in the scriptures, when we hear about stars, and we've done it in our meditation, think about stars in your heart, you know, that comes in and all of that. It always represents truth that is beyond man's present understanding. And like most of all, we want the spiritual laws to be changed. No, the spiritual laws cannot be changed for us. I remember in the early years, people would say, why are there so many rules just to be with God, just to know God? I'm sure people would like to be spiritual, Lord, love your neighbor as yourself. Say, what if I don't care for my neighbor? Maybe they are unlovable. Well, they may be unlovable, but you need to rise up because you are prayed in love to love them. Because that's the spiritual law. And that law is not going to be changed for you. Of course, we cannot change spiritual law, but we can change our reaction to it. When Jesus said, love your neighbor as thyself, instead of the reaction, we put like, that one, no way. There's no way I can love that one. There's nothing in that person that is lovable. We need to change that reaction because no soul is totally bad. And it is up to us to dig deeper because we are all created in love, to be able to find that love and give it to that person. Because you are not doing that person a favor. Actually, it's a selfish act on your part. It's like when you pray for somebody. No, you are not doing them a favor by praying for them. Because as you pray for them, guess who you pray for? It is yourself. Remember I say action and reaction are equal and opposite. What you give out comes back. So if you can find in your heart to love somebody that is unlovable, guess what? You free yourself. Because spiritual law is there to save us and to change everything into good. That's why we can change the thing. And the reason why most of us, maybe I can't even say all of us until we actually grow out of it, that we want the spiritual laws to be changed, including Job. It's because of self-will. Self-will means, well, I can do whatever I want. I'm not bound to any laws, any rules I can use. And people have said, well, that's what we call freedom, isn't it? Will means do whatever. No. Self-will is actually a tyrant. It will oppress you because if you can just do whatever you want, imagine a kid who's running around until the parents say, no, you can't go on the street before you go look left, look right. Because if he's not taught that he runs right, and there may be a vehicle, there may even be a bear around. Or a little fox. We've seen how, what's it called? The coyote. We see how we've seen where they run and try to get little kids. Well, I've seen it on video, and the parents, I mean, they actually drove up to their driveway. They were getting out. They didn't realize, and one of the kids was playing right there, and this coyote came, tried to grab the kid, and the mother had to drop everything and run after that. And the coyote backed up, but he didn't really go that far. He's still hoping it, Or the family cat that ran after the coyote who wants to eat the dog. So spiritual laws cannot be changed because if we think self-will, we can just do whatever we want. What? No. It oppresses us. And that's why Spirit of God within us. And those laws, they save us, they bring us into alignment. So we will see how these things all operate within Job's life. And maybe I'm the only one. I don't know, but I'm pretty sure most of us we've done this. As long as we insist upon telling God his business, Lord, this is how I want you to bless me. Doesn't that even make us laugh at ourselves? God, I'm not feeling well. This is how I want you to heal me. This is how, Yeah, it's good to dream. Oh, we have this dream of ourselves. And we say, Lord, this is how we want you to do it. The limitation of our wisdom compared to the one who created everything. Well, if we can create the ocean, maybe we can tell the good Lord how to do things in our lives. But as long as we insist upon telling God his business, nothing very much can come out of our prayers. And we wonder why our prayers are, because we are dictating to God. Imagine using your little intellect. And who gave you that intellect? Well, mothers or parents, they know this. Remember the little one who said, well, maybe they just learn ABC. They say, Mother, do you know ABC or something? And you just go along. Whenever I think about it, like God is so magnanimous, so generous with us. We are dictating to the one who created everything. This is how I want you to. And God just chuckled. Can you imagine if any of us were God? It's like, who do you think you are? Who are you telling to? I made you. If I want to do this to you, I have the right to. And if you don't shut up, I'm just going to vamoose you. Just like that. So when we are using our own intellect and will, how can they make us any better than we already are? Because if you are sick, whatever form of sickness, it's because you don't have the power to prevent that. That's why. So The power to heal you has to come from the outside. And when I mean the outside, that power has to be higher than where you are that, you know, contains that illness or sickness or whatever the situation is. And that's why we ask people to pray for it, because then, because their thoughts might be different from the way we are thinking about what is happening in our lives. It reminds me of a story. This person was so filled with, he feels there's no way out. Their sickness, illness, and all. So what did he start saying? Say, Lord, come into this temple. That's all his prayer. It wasn't dictated. He said, Lord, please come into this temple. Please come into this temple. And then the Lord chose to come into the temple. And his illness, all that were gone. Now get this. What did he say? He turned around and said, Lord, I didn't tell you to heal me. I just told you to come into the temple. Come into my temple. Didn't tell you to heal me. Maybe he figures, well, as long as that illness is, then he will be drawing closer to God. And what the Spirit said, the Lord said, wherever I come, there can be no darkness of illness or sickness or disease. Now remember, he didn't tell God, this is how I want you to heal me. He said, come into the temple. Any of us, human, man or woman, our problems arises because of some lack within ourselves. So how can the same self that produced the problems overcome them? So we always ask, why do things go wrong? They do because of our false beliefs. And all of us have false beliefs. Even science will prove it to you. Because when we believe in God and hitch ourselves onto God for a ride, then our problems are not only solved, they are dissolved. These are all the things we find in the story of Job. And I'm just putting this out, then I will just go on and read the story so that we can see how they all come together. Remember one of the songs we haven't done in a long time? Nothing can. What is it? Yeah, nothing to me, say you can enjoy me. Nothing to me, say you can enjoy me. That's fine. Okay, here. Nothing to me, say you will enjoy me. Nothing to me, say who will enjoy me. The world turns aside to make room for me. The world turns aside to make room for me. I come o blazing light, that shadows must flee. I come o blazing light, that shadows must flee. Hail, ye ocean, divide up and part. Hail, ye ocean, divide up and part. Or parched up and scorched, or be dried up and part. You have to change your form of thinking to be able to talk like that. Because you are so anchored in God. Then you say, nothing can injure you. No illness, no sickness, no disease. Physical, emotional, mental, whatever. No financial, all these issues. No. Because the Lord is in charge. Not you. Not our limited selves. We don't need to tell God. He knows exactly what we want. We just need, come in, Lord. Thank you for coming into my life. Thank you for blessing me. That's all. And then let it roll. And then the last part, because that's a long song. No can to me say who will injure me. No can to me say who will injure me. I hitch to my chariot the faith and the gods. I hitch to my chariot the faith and the gods. In the voice of thunder proclaim it abroad. In the voice of thunder proclaim it abroad. Hallo ye winds, blow bugles, blow free. Hallo ye winds, blow bugles, blow free. Liberty, liberty, liberty home. Liberty. So all your false beliefs, you hitch it to arrive with God, and they fall apart. And your life will be better than what you can even imagine. Not because by your own limited understanding, but by the power of God in you. But all of us, we tend to forget that. We think, oh, I raised myself by the effort I made. And we see how Job went into that false belief. Believing in the wealth, in his cattle and all of that. Forgetting who made it possible. You can make any investment, whether a relationship in financial investment or any form. If God doesn't say yes to it, it's not going to happen. That's why relationships blow up. That's why investments don't go anywhere. Remember Bitcoin and all of that? Now, it might still turn around. My heart sank because people I know who lost some money because of that. There are people I know, there are people God has sent that, you know, they do this, nothing come out of it. Until the good Lord chooses to bless it. And some, because, well, the moment they touch something is successful by human standard, they think they did it by themselves. Remember what the disciple said, my gift, my talent changed. No. That total false belief. To me, it's like Bill Gates thinking he did all of that because he was smart. Who gave him his smart? The good Lord? No. Or Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk or any of them. We don't know when what any of these things will turn out to be to. Unless you've gone to a prophet where the good Lord has revealed, this one is going to be a major player. Nobody knows that. You see a kid on the street or someone, you go, don't look down on them. You don't know what God's plan are for them. Because the one you look at might be the one who might actually save you up. I didn't want to use the word ASS. All these false beliefs we have. So why do things go wrong? So when we believe in God and hitch ourselves unto God for a ride, our problems, let's get this. Please listen to this. Are not only solved. They are not solved. They are dissolved. That's why you know. You can bring solution, but if it's not dissolved, it might still come up. I mean, we've had people where, you know, and God bless their souls. And those who are going through it, may God mercy come and may God will prevail. Where if they have the diagnosis of, let's say, cancer, and they do the chemo and all of that, and everything goes well. It is solved, but it's not dissolved. Because for some, it comes back again. And that's the difference between human and God. When you hitch yourself to God, God doesn't solve your problem. He dissolves the whole thing. That's why we always say, you know, doctors will treat you. The only one who can heal you is God. So it's false belief to think, if I take this medication, if I go to do this, if I do this, there are people who have done it. And when it's their time to go, what happens? God takes them away. And when God takes anyone away, that thing is dissolved, isn't it? Nobody's going to be sticking you any needle or this. God deserves it. That's how God operates. So until we hitch ourselves unto God for that right, instead of thinking, oh, I, you know, what's the saying? I lift up myself by the strap of my feet. Absolute nonsense. And we hear it all the time. People think it's by their, oh, this AI thing. Oh, yeah, you know, it's so smart, it came. No, it came because the good Lord allows it. Otherwise, we will not have any more challenges. When there are continuous challenges, until the Lord signed up, like, okay, I'll bring and give you the solution to it. Nobody gets it. I mean, how long has science been researching things? And people forget, science is very slow. They think technology is, the technology we're enjoying now, sometimes they've been doing the research long time ago. Because if we're so smart, the technology is so good, how come it wasn't instant? No, until the good Lord said yes. So we need to change our false beliefs. And we will see in the story of Job how he finally got that, changed it. Because Job believed that his supply came from outer things instead of from God, when he was relying. So do we. Thinking our partners, what did I write here? Thinking our partners will make us happy or fulfill us instead of God. Relying on our physical look, our jobs, business, wealth, fame, the A personality. We've heard that. People say, I'm an A personality. I chuckle when I hear that. Doctors are medicine to heal us and so on. Because in doing that, when we think we're the one who's doing the audit, then this is the difference. Let us never confuse the channel with the source. The source, for those of you, you know the source is God of everything. Each and every one of us, we are the channel of that source. For wealth, for good, you know, whatever it is. But most humans, we confuse the channel with the source. We think, yes, I did it. Because as we know, channels do dry up, but the source remains forever. And when we do that confusion, we literally think ourselves into trouble, because that's what Job did. And the only way to get out of it was to unthink our troubles. So let me go with the story so that we can see how they all come together. And then I will read the key to how to unworry yourself. What it takes to unworry yourself. So we know how Satan decided, and God said, okay, yeah, you can make him sick, but I'm not, don't kill him. And we understand from last week that this is all Broadway play, you know. Then in the life of Job, what happened? In that story, it was introduced. They introduced Job's wife. Remember what I said, the women is feelings and all of that. That's what woman, female represents. But we're not talking you as a gender. So here goes Job's feeling, Job's wife in this drama. And the author says that she was worse than Job. Why was she worse than Job? Because Job was already feeling bad for himself. He's sitting, oh my God, this is, I can't do anything. You know how we all do when we go to that corner, when we think there is no solution. So they said, Job's wife, in other words, Job's feelings is even worse, you know. Instead of trying to comfort him, she goaded him and tried to drive out the last little bit of faith. She says to her husband, "Are you such a fool as still to believe in God? Curse God and die." Remember, the woman in the Bible always represents the human soul, the human personality, and especially the feeling nature. When things go wrong, it is usually our feelings that let us down, our feelings of fear and discouragement. What's the use? This is what goes on in our thing now. What's the use? Give up your faith in God. Prayer doesn't work. I'm sure some of you have said that. Though in the play, they said the woman, the wife says it. But it was Job's own mind that was suggesting he turn away from God and let go of his faith. And most of all, we've been in that situation where things are just like, there was the purpose. I did ritual, I pray, I did what? I'm done. What have you done for me lately, huh? But then his higher self replies, which is the spiritual side, the Christ within, which they will say that is the male aspect. Thou speakest as one of the foolish people speak. He did not even lose his temper. And when one keep his temper under control, in other words, when we keep our emotion under control, he's the master of the situation. When you don't let your feelings get, you know, because in each of us is that seed of God and is connected to the higher power, to that presence. And no amount of feeling, no amount of challenges can flush it away. We just have to get past our feelings. There are moments where the feeling is the key to the solution. But sometimes the feeling can drag us down, isn't it? So his emotion is telling me, curse God, don't forget God. However, Job had not yet risen high enough in consciousness to overcome his difficulties. He continued to sit on the ash heap, feeling sorry for himself. Bad news travels fast, and pretty soon his three friends came around. Job had been famous for his justice, wisdom, philanthropy, and fair dealing, as the story told us. His friends could not understand how a man with these qualities could be suffering as he was. That's why sometimes it's not good to tell our relatives our problems, because, or even friends, because if they have that limited understanding, well, you can't blame them for trying to go what they understand. Say, you sure you didn't do anything wrong to God? This cannot be happening to you. It's only people who do bad things. Well, we must say Jesus did bad things for him to die the way he died. Some people might say that, wouldn't they? So, you know. So bad news traveled fast, and pretty soon his three friends came around. Job had been famous for his justice, wisdom, philanthropy, and fair dealing. His friends could not understand how a man with this calling could be suffering as he was. Then one of them chided him, said to him, Remember, I pray thee, whoever perished being innocent. So, who do you know who perishes if they are innocent of the, they won't perish. Or where were the righteous cut off? They that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. He said, look, if you are righteous, if you are innocent, these things will be happening to you. Because that's his own limited understanding. You can't blame him. Probably if he had met Jesus and Job came before Jesus, maybe then the friends wouldn't have said that. Because if Jesus was innocent and he was righteous, yet he went through that suffering, that difficulty. In other words, we have pity for you, but you must have been doing some evil things on the quiet. Nice friends. Who needs friends like that? Huh? Pity is always a bad thing. Never pity anyone. It is counterfeit. The real thing is compassion. Never pity yourself. Never pity anyone. But have compassion for yourself and for others. We should not see anyone suffer or in misery without trying to help them. To shrug our shoulders, walk away and say, what can I do? Is wrong. Remember the Good Samaritan, what Jesus talked about there. The first thing we can do is to give him the right thought, to see the Christ in him, to pray for him or her, to pray for anyone. And if there's some practical thing we can do, we should do it. That is compassion. Because you never know when the Lord will use you to say something to someone, and that's what they need. And it will trigger and change their way of thinking. Jesus taught compassion in his parables and demonstrated it. Because when he was feeding the 5,000, he said, I have compassion on the multitude. So how are we going to feed these people? So Job's three friends represent the different ways in which we think over a situation. Why should this happen to me? I live a good, clean life. This is part of what we say to ourselves, isn't it? I try to be fair in my dealings. I go to church. I do my tithing. We've all known good people who have contracted serious illness or gotten into difficulties. And we've all asked the question, why do the righteous suffer? Then came the fourth friend, Elihu, like Elihu, Elihu, who is described as a young man. Spiritually, youth represents a readiness to receive understanding. Young people are ready to hear and do something new. This young man has studied the scriptures. He was more thoughtful than the others. He could not believe that God would punish a man who had been good. He looked for another reason. He said to Job, I don't think God is punishing you. God is testing you for your own good. That was a little better, but still not correct. God does not need to test us. He already knows everything. It is we who have to find our things, not God. We are the one who have to find out the things. Why is this happening to us? Our temptations, our misfortunes do test us, but God does not send them. When we make a mistake, which most of us will do, or when a misfortune comes, which the grade depends, everybody goes through this. It is a test of our faith in God, which is what Job went through. Because if you have that deep faith, yeah, all these things, eventually you will overcome. If we stick to our faith and hold on in spite of appearances, we not only come through, but we make a tremendous spiritual advance. That's why the challenges come to us. If not, we could all be hunky-dory. But each of us, we have to face it. And every time you anchor down your faith in God and then you come through, you advance. That's it. You advance. You read the story of the saints. None of them, you just, yeah, they all have to take it on the chin. Jesus did. Yogananda did. My father did. In the play, Job's thoughts have been dramatized. His lower self has been talking to him. He has been going over and over in his mind the reasons for his predicament until his mind is a whirlwind of confused and negative thinking. And we know that can happen to us. It feels like there's no way out. Everything just, our mind is just doing wonders to us. Then he gets his thought clear and out of this whirlwind of confusion, his higher self asserts itself. It seems to me the Lord is speaking directly to him. He is reminded of the majesty and grandeur of the universe. For those of you who are Star Wars, Star Trek fans, and all of that, here we go. Can thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades? Or loose the bands of Orion? Can thou bring forth Mazzaroth in his season? Or can thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Some of these I understand, some I don't even understand. But those who are into Star Wars, Star Trek, they get it. Pleiades, Orion, all of that. Mazzaroth. Mazzaroth means the signs of the zodiac. The zodiac gives us about 26,000 at a stretch. And when you start talking about that, stars always represent truth, which I said earlier. That is beyond man's present apprehension. Even as we understand more truth, there will always be more truth, isn't it? And that's why we can't beat up ourselves thinking we're more powerful. When you think you know, there's always somebody who knows more than you do. The Bible teaches that the infinite power which created the heavenly bodies and maintains them in space is waiting to work in your life, in my life. But only if we turn to that power and allow it to work through us. And faith is the fundamental way of allowing that power, no matter what we're going through. Because by ourselves, we cannot lose the bands of Orion, which is bondage to the animal force within. We cannot guide Arcturus, which is sons, but God can. So when Job begins to seek the truth, Job's higher subconscious continues to reason with him. Now, how do we unworry ourselves? The way to unworry ourselves, you and I, is this, is to give up our belief in the appearance of things. No matter how distressing or welcome. How do I say that? Let's say we have fever. The appearance of it means, okay, we say, oh, we're sick. Yeah, fever can come, just say, oh, my body just needs some adjustments. It's different than if you think, oh, I'm sick, this is going to lead to this, this is going to lead to that. And it might just be, even like allergy, might just be something that comes, that goes. But if we get into that panic mode and we go down the rabbit hole, like, oh, this is what's going on, then we cannot unworry ourselves. The way to unworry and put things right is to give up your belief in the appearance of things, no matter how distressing or unwelcome. Of course, this is hard to do. Most of us have conditioned ourselves to accept the appearance at face value. And as long as we do this, we will be filled with anxiety and worry. Job gave up his belief in trouble and limitation, and things begin to come right. And I'll give you a quick example of the appearance of things. Someone I knew a long time ago. A bill is due. They don't know how they're going to pay that. Because the income that's supposed to come to them has been delayed. Not because they don't have that stream of income, it has been delayed. And they know if they don't pay that bill, the contract that they need to get, which will really help them, oh, that's it. That's the end of it. So now they're in panic mode. Totally. Because they've been banking on that contract. And Spirit sent. And before they could even say anything, Spirit said, don't worry. We've already taken care of this. They couldn't believe, like, how? This is still like 2 days from now, something like that. And what did the good Lord do? Let's say they were supposed to pay a landlord. Let's just use that example. So the landlord was faced with a challenge. And when he's faced with a challenge, he wasn't even thinking of this one, the bill they need to pay. He needs to fix that challenge. So by the time the landlord finished the challenge, even though the day he was supposed to pay has even gone over by one day. So you can just imagine what panic mode this person is. So by the time the landlord finishes all of that, I'm now like, oh, okay, I need to, the income at at Kamina is paid. So the landlord didn't even have to, and he got the contract. But the appearance when it first happened is like, there is no way I'm going to meet this. And if I don't meet this, then I don't get any contract. So everything, shaking in our boots and all of that. So we need to learn not to go by appearance. Or sometimes, when you need a job so bad and you hear they've given it to somebody and say, ah, what am I going to do now? And Spirit is assuring you, don't worry, you get that. They're like, they've already offered it to someone else. How am I going to get it? Doesn't make sense. What kind of spirit is this? They like to play games because these are things that have been thrown in my face when Spirit is saying, we've taken care of this. Only to find that the person they offered the job to turned it down. And then they gave them the job. And the person has said, oh God, who's like you? But they were going by their appearance, which Job did. So we need to change that. So in order to unworry ourselves and put things right, we must give up our belief in the appearance of things, no matter how distressing or unwelcome. That is how we take care of ourselves. At another time, we will come back to the story of Job. What the three daughters represent. Remember, Job's lost the children and then God. So for now, instead of worrying about the apparent, let us have faith. in the one that created us and all we do. May God's blessing be with us. Amen.
Amen.